Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Adrian.
Hello.
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 Adrian.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Adrian.
Hello.
This is Christina.
Hello.
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 Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. This is Elaine Gargell. I've been trying to dial into the conference call.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Oh, good. Now
Hello.
we can hear each other.
Hello.
I don't think
Yes, I'm here.
this lady keeps saying, yes, I'm hearing
No, she can't hear me.
I can hear you. You can't hear me, maybe.
Oh, good heavens.
Adrienne, it's Marilyn. Do you hear me?
Ladies, I think we can hear each other, but I don't think Adrian can hear us.
Thank you.
Ah.
Hello? Can anyone hear me? This is Marilyn Trone.
Hi,
I
Marilyn.
hear you.
This is
Marilyn, this is Elaine. I can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We can hear each other, but I don't think Adrian can hear us.
Yeah, I don't think she can either. I've sent her two emails.
Oh, good. Thank you.
But you know, I already sent them 30 minutes ago. I don't think she's checking email. So I think
Oh, she's probably being working with her technology person.
No, exactly. I don't think she can hear if anyone else is even on the call. Are we the only two on the call?
Hello.
I'm on.
Hello.
Hello?
Do we? Oh, okay. This is Adrienne Leeds. We've had technical problems. I haven't been able to get into the call for the last 30 minutes, so I want to apologize for that. Who have I got on the line?
Pam Jensen.
Okay, Pam. Who else?
Marilyn.
Elaine Gargell.
Elaine. Hello, Elaine. Who else?
Hi, Adrienne.
Marilyn
Anybody?
Stone. Marilyn
Hello,
Stone.
Ellen. Okay, nice to meet you. I'm terribly sorry for the technical problems. I don't can't understand
This is Eric.
why it happened. Who was that?
That was Eric.
Eric Peterson. Great. I'm so glad that we finally got this together.
Oh, good.
Adrienne, it's Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn. Nice to
Hi.
hear from you. I'm glad you all have had patience with this. I'm terribly sorry. Mary Ellen has been trying to get in from Paris, and she's had all sorts of difficulties, and we don't understand what happened. But okay, I'm going to let that go, and we're going to start from fresh. Okay?
Very good. Nice to be here.
Great. Hello,
Well,
Adrienne. This is Christina.
hello. I assume you guys have just been talking among yourselves, waiting for us to get online.
A little.
No, we actually couldn't hear anyone.
Oh, so you had the same problem we did.
They put everyone on mute as soon as you dialed in, and so no one could hear anyone.
Right. If you didn't go star six, you couldn't get on.
Well, I tried everything.
I
Okay.
know.
Any. Okay. Okay. Anyway, now that we're on, and I'm sorry that Mary Ellen is not going to be on the call unless she can figure out a way in. But let me.
Sex, right?
Yeah. Well, I tried that too.
Did
Okay.
oh, didn't work. Okay.
Yeah, I no, I finally called the company and got them to troubleshoot this. So maybe that's what happened.
Maybe.
At any rate, let's go ahead and get started. Just to give you a brief, and we can go a little bit longer if you guys are okay with that. Okay.
I'm okay.
Just to get started then, you know, what I wanted to do is first present a pros and cons of both owning your own property in Paris or anywhere in France versus the fractional ownership, and then open it up for questions.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So, and you might want to do this yourself. This is what I did. I made two columns, single ownership on one side, and I put fractional ownership on the other side. And I left the column on the left just to, you know, to be able to compare how one works against the other for certain attributes. So I'm going to start with the word freedom. Single ownership, there is certainly a huge amount of freedom with single ownership because you can do whatever you want with the property. however you want to do it, without any sort of interference from anyone else, with the exception possibly a co-proprietaire, a homeowners association, particularly in Paris. But on the other side, with a fractional ownership, the freedom is not necessarily with doing whatever you want, but there is a certain freedom from the responsibility that you have with single ownership. And so there is still a huge level of freedom. It's just a different kind of freedom. So I assume you all understand what I mean by that.
Yes, I think
so.
Okay. The second item on my list is return on investment, because this is a really important attribute. When you own a property, particularly in Paris, that generates a rental revenue, then you can not only look for a return on investment in terms of appreciation, but you also have the rental revenues. And that is certainly one big difference with fractional, because, and this is for most fractionals that you're not going to rent out, and that's another part of this conversation, but because you're not renting it, you can really only look for appreciation without a rental revenue. On the other side of that, though, if you're going to use the property yourself for the time that you have allotted on a fractional, then this is money you're not spending on hotels or the rental of other apartments. So there is a certain level of return on investment. We're probably going to talk a little bit about the reasons why it doesn't really make sense to rent a fractional ownership property, but we can leave that to last. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next on my list is what I call sweat equity, and that just means the amount of work it takes to manage a property, and if it's single ownership, then basically it's mostly on your shoulders. You can hire a management firm, which will take a lot of it off your shoulders, but still it's not work free. And with a fractional ownership, really the only work you have involved is to be a part of the decision making process with the other owners. So there's very little sweat equity on a fractional ownership. So that's one of the pros. My next item is usage. Clearly with your own property, you can use it whenever, however you like, which is not true with a fractional. It is limited. But there are a lot of different usage programs on a fractional that make it really desirable. For instance, on our newest project, the Palace des Vosges, we have a rotational plan that's purely rotational. And even if you choose certain weeks, you can always trade those weeks, with the other owners. So it can be pretty flexible and it can work pretty well for most people. The next item is, of course, resale. Resale, if it's your own property, is fairly simple. Standard resale, anytime at any price. And on a fractional ownership, you can offer your share to the other owners, of course, and very, very often the other owners will likely want to buy into another share. But there's also a pretty big secondary market that's been growing, and there are agents that specialize in this work now. It's still a little bit new because fractional ownership is, not that well seasoned, but we believe that there's not going to be any problem on a secondary market to sell your share. I would venture to say, though, that most people keep their shares for a really long time, or as long as they want to continue to use the property. Next item on the left column, decor, and of course, if it's your own property, anything goes. You can do whatever you want decor-wise, and with fractional ownership, usually you purchase into a property where someone else has determined that decor, and once it is owned by everyone and there's full ownership, then it's going to be the consensus among owners. I remember, though, not long ago hearing a story about how all the owners had to make decisions about the coffee table. So, it's not going to be just yours to make that decision. On the other hand, though, if you can let loose of those details, it's also something you don't have to be responsible for or worry about. So there's a plus. In terms of the quality of the property, interestingly enough, on one hand, with a fractional, you can certainly own into a much higher quality property for your budget. But if you're willing to take a mortgage, you should be able to own that same level of property with the down payment equal to what it's costing you to put into the fractional. I hope I'm making myself clear. Let's just say, for instance, you put 100,000 euros into a fractional property, and that buys you 1/12 or 1/13 of the share. You're obviously going into a very nice property for that 100,000 euros. But if you took that 100,000 euros and you used it as down payment on a single ownership property, and say that's 20%, then that gives you a 500,000 euro property that you could be purchasing. So there are two ways to look at that, but yes, generally speaking, with that 100,000 euros, you're going to be able to buy into a much nicer property because you're sharing it with 12 or 13 others, or however many others the property is divided into. So clearly there are pros and minuses on both sides, and it really depends on what your needs and desires are and, you know, how this works into your own lifestyle and what you want to achieve with the property. So that being said, I'm now going to open this up to questions, and feel free also to ask about the various properties that we're offering right now on the site. I assume you're all familiar with those, and I'm happy to answer those questions too.
Adrian, I have a question. This is Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get the lay of the land, as you had recommended, I've been looking at the real estate classifieds in LeMond, and I noticed some that are on there for several months, and the price doesn't go down. And my second question is, since there's not an MLS, a multiple listing service, I noticed there's quite a number of agents will have the same property, and the price variation is sometimes, to my mind, huge. So I have two questions. One, why doesn't the price go down after several months? And two, how can one be sure they're really getting the best price on a property if it's listed by several agents?
Okay, these are good questions. Where were you looking where you saw a property online for a very long time? Was it online on a website or in...
Yes, in the LeMond.fr, the new
okay.
On the
site. Okay, understand that any property you see advertised, whether it's in an agency window or online, is either, okay, sold and never removed and used
either
as a loss leader, or not sold, and there's a reason it's not sold. Okay.
You were breaking up. Can you start again? Anything I see in a window?
Any property advertised, because property stays on the market for such a short period of time, anything you see advertised, first of all, was not sold through its best means, which is usually through people like us, because good properties typically never get to the window or to the website.
Okay.
So if it's on the website, then it's possible that it was sold but never removed from the website or the agency window, or it's a property that is really not, there's something wrong with it, it's not worth buying, and that's why it's sitting there. They don't start to lower price. They usually take it off the market for a while and then will reintroduce it later because it's, if it hasn't sold for, you know, within a month or so, it will be considered a dead property.
Okay.
Okay, but you can't depend on any property that's being advertised. And I know that seems really, really crazy. But when an agent gets a good property in their listings, they make a few phone calls to a few people like us who have clients, and usually it's sold that way and it never gets advertised.
And And the part about getting the best price.
Well, when you see it listed with a lot of different agents, then you know for sure you've got a property that's got a problem because they're just trying to sell it in any which way they can.
Okay.
And therefore, if you've seen it in a lot of different agencies, just you got to go for the one that's got the lowest price.
Okay.
Because they are morally obligated to accept asking price.
Okay.
Okay, so does
Thank
that help?
Yes,
okay.
It does. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Adrian?
Yes.
It's Marilyn.
Okay, Marilyn.
How are you?
Go ahead, ask your question.
Okay. I'm curious, you know, just with all the upheaval that's going on, at least in the U.S. credit markets and in the housing over here, how that is impacting the real estate market in France and also the lenders, and whether they're wary of American buyers and just exactly that, how the real estate market is being affected.
I haven't seen it. It may be affecting the level of risk that the banks are willing to take, but they've never been in the same situation that the American lenders have been in, because they've never taken risks. And consequently, they're just not sitting with the same problems. Now, it certainly, there's, you know, they're not living in a complete bubble, so the U.S. is affecting them in lots of different ways. But we have not had any clients turned down for a mortgage. So we just haven't seen it.
Okay.
Adrian, can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is Elaine. I just wanted to know, I've never been involved with timeshare or anything like that, so I'm not sure what you meant by rotational usage of the property. Could you just explain that?
Well, first of all, fractional ownership is not timeshare. Okay, it can be, it's easily misconstrued, but fractional ownership is co-ownership. You actually co-own a property, and then the usage of it is just determined based on your share of ownership. I'm sitting in a co-op in New York right this minute, and it's basically the same thing, where I own shares in this building, which are attached to an apartment. And in a fractional ownership, you own shares which are attached to a usage of the property. That's really the only difference. Timeshare, you know, usually has many, many, many more owners, and they don't actually own the property. They only are renting it in terms of time.
Okay.
So you know, don't confuse the two, okay?
And what is meant by rotational then?
Well, in a rotation, there's different kinds of usage. With fractional, you will see some fractional where they sell a set fixed month. Let's say you buy the month of December, period, okay? There are others that will rotate a month, and that month rotates in lots of different ways. Let's say every year you get a month in a particular season, the next year you get a month in the next season, and then it rotates like that. In the case of Le Palace des Vosges, we're doing a purely rotational system where it's 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and you get two seasons, so 2 weeks in one season, 2 weeks in another season, and then it rotates the following year 6 weeks later, so that you then get another two seasons.
Okay.
Okay, but because it's purely rotational, you can at any time trade your 2 weeks with one of the other owners.
So that's between you and the other owners then?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, once that property is totally sold out and all we have are the group of 13 owners, those 13 owners can decide to change their usage completely if they want. They will have complete power over how they manage it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Adrian, I've noticed, again, I've just been surveying the market, trying to get the lay of the land, that some places for sale, and then also I'm going on rental sites looking, have a mezzanine, and that's where the bed is. But sometimes that roof looks quite low. How low can the roof be and still be a good rentable property?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. First of all, if it's too low, it doesn't count on the loi, on the official measurement of space, on the loi Carrez.
Uh-huh.
So it's no longer very valuable from a a square meter basis.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly wouldn't want a sleeping loft, if you can help it, where you couldn't at least stand up in it.
Okay.
But that's personal, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go into a, I personally wouldn't want to sleep in a loft that I felt was like a coffin, you know? Mm-hmm. You'd have to crawl in and out of bed. From a rental standpoint, it does give you additional sleeping space, which wouldn't be bad, say, for kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it could be used that way. So it could, in effect, be an advantage just because you can sleep more people and therefore you can charge more, you know, rental.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you could kind of market to families with parents.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you have to be careful that the sleeping loft you're creating is an advantage to the space in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, if no one else is going to pop in, I've got another one.
Sure.
Notice there are various types of heat when I'm reading the ads. We've got electric or gas, individual or collective. Do you have any thoughts? What's better? What's least expensive? What's more reliable?
Well, they all operate differently. Obviously, I think the most expensive one to operate is individual electric.
Okay.
Although the new radiators are pretty efficient. And, of course, it also depends on how well insulated the apartment is.
Sure.
In terms of energy efficiency. Collective can be quite good. It can also be quite bad.
What exactly does collective mean?
Oh, that means that sometimes the heating is within the whole building and you don't have control over it. So it goes on, let's say, October or November and then goes off again in March or April, something like that. So you end up with not a lot of control.
And then can you even control the amount of heat in your own unit?
You should be able to at least control a certain amount of a certain temperature, but mostly they do a sort of minimal amount, and it may be just the ventilation because there's different kinds of collective heat.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I've seen heat that's been built into the floors in newer buildings that's quite good.
Okay.
And it's mostly in newer buildings.
Okay.
Gas heat, radiator gas heat is probably the overall most efficient, and then you have complete individual control over it.
Okay. And I noticed places have fireplaces. Are those working fireplaces? Are people carrying wood up?
Yeah, they're not always working, but they can be working. And, yeah, basically, if you don't have an elevator, you're carrying it up or you're having it delivered.
So you're actually burning wood.
Mm-hmm. You can actually burn wood, yes. You just have to make sure that the flue is cleaned.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was gas or because sometimes it actually says, the fireplace works. And so thank you.
Right. And then you can burn wood and you can outfit it with gas.
Okay.
That's entirely possible too.
And
as long as you've got gas in the apartment.
Okay. While we're on the subject of temperature, air conditioning, if you can't put window air conditioners in, how do you do that and what's kind of an estimate on the price?
Well, it's usually pretty expensive to install any kind of central system, and you have to have a way of ducting the air conditioning and a place to put the unit, and so it requires having some sort of an outlet that is not going to disturb or be seen by the neighbors, which makes it very difficult. Most people who air condition actually use little portable systems that have a little portable unit that rolls around that has a big tube, and the tube can be stuck out of a window, or you can cut a hole in your glass and to pipe the tube out of it. Air conditioning is not, it's only necessary a couple of weeks a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just so used to living without air conditioning.
Oh, okay.
I personally love not having air conditioning. I don't like the recycled air I don't like it being too cool. And I've gotten really used to having no air conditioning whatsoever and fresh air. You're best off looking for an apartment that has cross ventilation.
Adrian, is there a law against screens?
There's laws against changing anything to the facade of the building.
I mean,
which would have something to do with screens, but I've never seen a screen on a French window.
I know, I haven't either.
Well, that's because there aren't any bugs.
Well,
very, very few bugs.
Very, very few bugs. But
very, very few bugs.
What if you have animals that you don't want out, like your cat? I mean, I don't want
jumping
out the window every time I open it, and there seems to be no screens.
You think your cat would go out the window?
Yeah.
I guess French cats are very well trained.
Well, you know, mine are. They don't really go out the windows, but the screens definitely keep them in, you know, if a bird flies by or something.
No, that's true. I've never seen a screen in a French window. There aren't that many cats.
I'm going to open a screen company.
But you might go broke because nobody's even going to know what they are.
Or maybe it has some sort of thing that you can open and close, you know, with the window. You open the window, maybe you can pull down a screen or something.
Yeah, but then you're not going to get the view.
You can't hang out it.
No, but, you know, I have seen cats hang out in windows, but I've never seen a cat purposely fall out.
Right. Actually, I've seen a couple who, you know, go out and walk along the railings and
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know, and I'm just having, you know, oh, my God, that cat. No.
They have 9 lives, remember?
Yes, I know.
No, it's funny you say that because I'm looking right now at screens that fit these windows. I'm in this New York apartment,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you open the window a part of the way and then the screen
right.
goes the other half so that you can have an open window without anything coming in. But
see, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting. Okay. I would need a screen if I bought an apartment. I'd have to bring my own, I guess.
Exactly. Good luck. Okay.
What is noble étage? I see that in ads.
First
the
floor.
Noble étage, yeah. The noble étage are the perfect levels. It's where the most expensive apartments were placed on those levels because they were far enough above street and low enough to be easy to access by stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the second. It's the second floor.
Second
it's
floor.
Yeah, 012. Two flights up is the noble étage.
So that'd be third floor American.
Yeah, and you can see them because they usually have different balconies, higher ceilings, bigger windows, things of that nature. Even from the outside, you can tell.
So what's first floor? Premier étage?
Premier, yeah, premier. Mm-hmm.
Étage, okay.
Right, first floor, one up.
Okay.
Because so, one up's just, you know, two, it's not far enough above the street.
Mm-hmm.
You get street noise and street smells, of course, you know, when they used to throw their waste out the windows and things of that nature. So second up is perfect because it's only two flights of walking up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you need an ascenseur if you don't like that idea.
Well, I think three up is about max in terms of comfort, particularly for a rental.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, two is the best. Two is great. Two is doable. Three gets a little more difficult. But for rental purposes, three is really maximum without an elevator. You can go really high with an elevator, and that can be extremely desirable, but not if you only have one elevator. And I warn you, because if the elevator's out and you're on the seventh floor, then you've got renters schlepping luggage up 7 flights, and that's not fun for anybody.
Sure, yeah.
Plus you have the co-op problem of the rest of the apartments not necessarily wanting to have it fixed if it breaks.
No. That's standard procedure to have it fixed, but even if it's out for only 1 or 2 days, it can be a terrible problem.
Mm, yeah.
So you want to be in a building that has at least, if it's going to be 6th or 7th floor with elevator, you want to make sure at least you have 2 elevators.
Is that fairly common, Adrian, to have 2 elevators?
No, it's not. It has to be a big enough building that would have 2 elevators. And because most of the elevators were afterthoughts and they were kind of wedged in, you know, inside of an original stairwell, and you only get 1 shot. But I can tell you that we have one rental apartment on our site. It's called Le Balcon Planté. In fact, it's owned by a lovely woman who lived here in New York, who I saw last night to hear Gay Marshall sing Edith Piaf songs. And her apartment, Le Balcon Planté, is a wonderful apartment on the sixth floor of a building in the 12th district with beautiful views and a balcony. And very recently, I met some renters, and that day when I arrived there, the elevator was out. It was working perfectly the day before and the day after, and we don't know why it wasn't working. But when they arrived, because they were moving in for 3 months, a lot of luggage,
oh my.
I'm the one who brought it up.
Oh, my.
Yes. Okay. And so, you know, unfortunately, while the elevator was out, she had to reduce her rent in order to get people in there. So it's a trade-off.
Yeah. Adrian, what is a buanderie?
A what?
A buanderie. I see that in ads.
Buanderie? I don't have a clue.
Okay.
A buanderie? I don't know what that is. It is in apartments or houses?
It's in apartments.
Never heard of it.
Okay. What I also see T1, T2.
Oh, that means une pièce, deux pièces. Means one room, two room.
And the T is? So that's just.
Sorry. No, usually it could be trimester, quarter, first quarter, second quarter. Could also be that, depending.
Well, I think it is referring to the number of rooms. So is T1 like a studio or is that?
Well, one room is a studio.
Okay.
Is
and
it?
Then three. Yeah.
But often you'll see a T1, and that can also mean trimester, which in French is trimestre, but in English is quarter.
Okay.
So it's 3 months.
All right. Good.
Means the zoning on the apartment.
And
okay.
I'll do my last question. I'm not hearing a lot of questions. Très bien agencé. I see that in ads.
Très bien. And then what?
A-G-E-N-C-E.
Good
agency.
Good agency, which
yeah.
The real estate agent is a...
Yes, I guess. It means it's a good agent. I must have ever seen that before, though, either.
I've actually seen it, yeah. Patting on the back.
I'm fabulous. Come by for me. Okay. All righty.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, if I have another one, I don't feel like I want to overwhelm the group. But
please do. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very kind of you, Eric. Thank you.
I appreciate your questions.
Adrian, if we purchase from you and we hire your company to be our rental agent, I noticed that you advertise some of those. Is that an extra cost, or is that included in your taking care of the being the rental agent for those various apartments?
Well, the way the rental management works is it's in two parts. There's the reservations and bookings part of it, which we take a 20% commission for, which includes the credit card transaction fees. And we have a few owners that, you know, allow us to book, but then they manage it themselves because they're there in Paris and they're on the ground and they can do their own meet and greets. Then separate from that is a concierge contract, which can be as little service or as much service as is desired, and it usually includes a meet and greet and the basic management of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be anywhere from another 10 to 15% in cost, and it varies because you can do a meet and greet for a 3-day stay, and you can do a meet and greet for a 2-week stay, and
sure.
Clearly, you know, you're going to earn more on the 2-week than on the 3-day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying that percentage varies depending on how the rentals go.
Okay.
But it's just charged for a one meet and greet or one housekeeping, for instance.
Okay.
Okay, of course, when you do a longer-term rental, you don't get as high a per-night rate, usually, either. So it's all relative.
Okay. And in the, is it in the concierge contract where, let's say, I don't know, the sink gets stopped up or something or another, when you say basic management, does that include you then finding someone to solve that problem?
Yeah, oh yeah, we do that kind of maintenance as well. And we usually hold some sort of a reserve deposit to cover those kinds of expenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it's just, it's charged on an hourly basis, except we have packages that make the hourly less expensive when you buy so many hours of maintenance time.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anything like that, you can talk to John Rule. John Rule is our rental manager.
Oh, all right.
And his email address is either john@adrianleeds.com or apartments@adrianleeds.com.
Okay.
And he's the one that negotiates all those contracts. And every one of our owners has basically a different kind of a contract depending on, you know, how much or little service they need. I mean, we pay the bills for some of our clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really take care of everything so that they don't have to think about anything at all.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
And you have a service available where if you don't rent the apartment, you will check in on the apartment when the owner is not there.
Oh, yeah, sure. In other words, that could just be the maintenance contract without the rental.
Right, right, right. Okay.
That's why we divide it into two parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way you tailor it. Mm-hmm.
Is any of this written down anywhere, what we're talking about today? I'm not sure I'm going to remember everything or if my notes are really accurate.
Not really, because we don't make that information public on the website.
Okay.
But all you have to do is email John, and what he can do is send you the contracts, which outlines everything.
Oh, okay.
And then you'd have it all, you know, firsthand.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Would you mind repeating, Adrian, his email address?
Yeah, sure. John, J-O-H-N, @adrianleeds.com. You know how to spell Adrian Leeds, right?
Right.
Okay. And then, or apartments@adrianleeds.com. And if you go onto the website for Parley Paris Apartments, there's a link for him there, too.
Oh, okay, great.
Poor John. He has a whole slew of email addresses.
Well, I think I'm confused, I think, because I was trying to write it down at the beginning, and I ended up with a combination of both.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he just can't get away from any of us, you know.
And I am going to have to jump off. I don't want to be rude, but I need to run, but I really appreciated this call and also listening to everyone else's questions. It was
well,
very
thank
helpful.
You all very much. I see it's 7 minutes after the so we've gone 7 minutes. I think we should go ahead and go till 15 after, since we got started late, if that's okay with everybody.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Fine. Yeah. Thank you.
As long as you have more questions.
I want to know how the neighborhood is doing, Rue Charlot, Rue Picardy, Carrader Temple.
In what way?
In real estate prices.
Oh, my God, booming.
I know.
It's insane. The third district is just changing so quickly that I can hardly keep up. The new boutiques and galleries that have gone into those little streets that surround Rue de Bretagne are just blossoming. Lots of new restaurants and things of that nature. Star Academy has, you know, taken over space on the bottom side, on the south side of Charlot.
Causing quite a stir, I understand.
Yes, causing quite a stir, but, you know, the neighborhood's getting, very posh, but still maintaining its eclectic nature, which, of course, we like a lot. And real estate is just, you know, booming there. It's very hard to find property. There's very little of it. What is there sells really quickly. And there's almost nothing under 10,000 euros per meter anymore.
No. Is Rue de Picardy pedestrian only yet?
Picardy, not really, but close, almost.
Okay.
It's such a small street, very little goes down anymore.
It is.
They are pedestrianizing more and more, though, of it.
Mm. Is the construction on the market thing they're redoing?
It hasn't started yet. You're talking about the Carreau du Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it It hasn't started yet, but the things around it are already booming.
They are.
And my prediction is that any property that surrounds that is going to just skyrocket.
Yeah.
You know, once the work starts and they get it done, it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
And what area is that again, Adrian?
It's the third. It's the third, and it's right behind the Mary of the Third.
Okay.
It's an old iron structure called the Carreau de Temple that is being used as like a wholesale warehouse. It's even a station for the street cleaners at the moment, but it's going to be renovated into a multi-purpose facility and revitalized. What surrounds it, which is Rue Picardie and Rue du Petit Tuileries, is just already really gentrifying and coming up in anticipation of it.
Mm.
Oh, I always keep my eye out for property right there because I think it's going to be fabulous.
I agree. I always keep my eye out for something on Rue de Picardie.
Mm-hmm.
At least we're comfortable in knowing where we want to be.
Yes. Well, you know, I can't say enough wonderful things.
Great address.
Well, I love the third. Absolutely love the third.
Yeah. I saw an apartment available over Monoprix. Oh, Franprix.
On Rue de Bretagne.
Mm, that could be iffy, huh?
Oh. Well, it just depends on the noise level there.
Oh,
that's the only thing. If you're right on Rue de Bretagne, you're going to have to put up with the noise.
And the garbage and stuff from the grocery store.
Yeah, and whatever. It's better if you're one off of the, you know.
Actual store.
On one of the side streets, yeah.
Yeah, because it was a really good price, like $197 or something. But I thought, right upstairs from the grocery store could be a problem.
Well, yeah, you just have to put up with that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Adrian, how many shares do you have left of Palace de Vosges?
Basically, we have 12.
Okay.
Because we have not yet finalized the reservation contract. So while we have an awful lot of people who are very ready to sign, we don't have anyone who has officially signed.
Okay.
And that's only because we haven't, the documents are still in process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the first share is actually going to one of the two investors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only one that's absolutely for at the moment.
Okay.
But there, you know, we've got a really nice group of people who are at the bit waiting to get the reservation contract to sign on it. So I suspect that once that happens, the shares are going to go very, very quickly.
So a person actually couldn't reserve a share at this point? I'm a little confused.
Well, yeah, I think it would be a good idea to get your name in the spot because there is a hierarchy of those who have requested it.
Uh-huh, okay.
You
so
see,
where would one be on the hierarchy if they made a decision at this point?
Probably my guess, without asking Mary Ellen, who's not on this call, somewhere in the five, six, or seven.
Okay, all right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But you understand, we don't know how many of those people who say yes, we're going to sign, we sign.
Right. Yeah. But they have.
So at this point, it's really hard to make that. That you see.
Yeah, they just have a very high level of interest. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's a fantastic piece of property.
Oh my word! The video and the photos are just lovely.
Mm-hmm.
You've really gotten onto something wonderful there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thank you for saying that, but of course, you know, we don't think the property shows as well as it's going to turn out, because right now it's a big, empty, cavernous space, mm-hmm. you know, that nothing's been done to other than a whitewash on the walls.
And how many square feet are in that apartment that is on, that you have the video of?
Is it really what?
How many square feet?
It's a little over 80 square meters. I think it's like 80, almost 82 square meters. That makes it about 850 850 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Approximately, which doesn't seem very large by U.S. standards.
Right.
But
understood.
Yeah. But by French standards, it's a very, because it's got 4-meter-high ceilings, Yeah, and the bedrooms are stacked one over the other. One, you go down a few steps, and the other one, you go up a few steps.
It's like a split
level. Like a, almost like a split level. It just feels very spacious and wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, the high ceilings would do that for it.
How is
It makes a big difference.
How is the construction going over at Forum de Al, and what do you
think? Nothing started there yet at all.
Oh, okay.
No. There's no sign of any construction at the moment. I'm sure the city is still fighting over budgets.
Will there definitely be, I mean, are they far enough along to say, yes, we will definitely be doing something there, or is it still in the talking stage?
Oh, no. It's definitely going to happen.
Something is going to happen.
It's just a matter of timing, yeah. No. Yeah, and who knows what's going to happen during the construction or even after.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, the city's going to improve. That's the plan.
Is Explorimo a fairly respectable website and classified ad source?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good.
But of course, it's really just the different agencies. Anyway, you're still dealing with the agencies.
Right.
You know, the website is really just facilitate. That's all.
It's a good place to learn the words and stuff and what things mean and see pictures.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. At least you get an idea of what you're looking, you know,
mm-hmm.
What you're looking for. But I would venture to say that almost all of the properties that we have helped sell or helped our clients purchase, they were the first ones in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And those properties never went to those. Almost all of them happens that way.
So do the real estate agents call you as soon as they get a listing, Adrian, and say, we know you look for this sort of an apartment, and then you help your clients?
Yeah, exactly. Certainly not all the agents, because there are lots of them, but the ones that we work with very closely in particular areas of town do. And Mary Ellen runs to see them.
Okay.
Le Petit Trésor, which is a fractional by Steve Navarro.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first person to see that apartment, and from the apartment she called him and said, I have this apartment, and he said, buy it. And that's how fast it happened.
Okay.
And he still has not seen it. It's been signed for. I signed for it last week, and he still has not seen it.
Just the photos. Interesting. Okay.
But that's how good property goes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that development over on Rue de Portefeuille done yet?
No, still under construction.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Last time I passed.
Do you know anything about French FDIC and how much bank accounts are covered in France if you put money there?
I don't believe they're insured at all.
Not insured at all?
I don't believe so. There may be some sort of level, but... I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I don't really want to pull my money out.
Well, no, but, I mean, the government probably insures up to a certain level, but...
Well, when I asked the bank, and she implied that, well, everything is covered, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, probably, but, I don't really know.
Mm.
I mean, you're right, but I've never kept
a
lot of money in France.
Yeah.
Anything I have is in property.
Huh?
Everything I have is in property.
Right. Understood.
Well, Adrian, I just want to congratulate you and your daughter on finally getting a co-op in Manhattan.
Yes, us too.
Oh, thank you. I'm sitting in it right now.
Marvelous.
I have a view of the Empire State, which is amazing. It's sort of like except that I look at it and think, I wish it were the Eiffel Tower. And it took, it took almost 10 months to manage this. It's been one of the most difficult things I've ever done. Buying property in Paris is way easier.
Yeah.
and a lot less expensive.
Mm, that's for sure.
Yes. But at least this little part of Manhattan, the West Village, kind of feels like the Marais, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's as close as we could get.
Speaking with all those aggravations you had with co-op boards, et cetera, when one buys an apartment in Paris and then wants to rent it out, does the building management or your fellow neighbors, can they put the kibosh on that in any way?
Nope, they cannot.
Okay.
They cannot. They cannot infringe on your rights. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And they certainly can in a co-op, but... No. Now they can insist that your renters be quiet,
mm-hmm.
but they cannot restrict your ability to rent it.
Okay. Excellent.
Adrian, this is Elaine. I have to sign off. I just wanted to say thank you very much for letting me participate in the phone call.
Well, thank you, and I actually want to thank all of you. I think it's time for all of us to sign off now, and I apologize again for, you know, the lateness in coming on. I don't understand what happened, but I'm glad that it did finally work out. Feel free, all of you, to, you know, email us with your questions, okay, or call and be in touch because we're always happy to be there for you.
Okay, thank you very
okay.
much.
And if there's anything else we can do, just let us know.
Thank you for everything you
do. Adrian.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
What part did you find fascinating?
Well, just the fact that the prices were going up and, you know, listening about the elevators and what all the things you have to think about. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good thing you know the language. So I don't know how you would buy it if you didn't know enough to ask what these terms mean
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty fun just to listen to. So you sound like you're getting ready to move on it.
Well, I'm going to get all the papers together for the pre-qualification on the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty serious because it would take care of two things. I think it would be a good investment.
Uh-huh.
One from the appreciation point of view, although it has been appreciating very nicely in Paris for the last 10 years.
So you wonder at what point will it stop?
You do, except that they're never going to move the Louvre or the Eiffel Tower of Paris, and it's one of those where there's no flat land left.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got people, the Chinese are coming in and the Russians are coming in. So not only do you have French and the Americans buying, we've now got the Chinese and the Russians
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right.
So, and that's one of the things that's continually pushing up. So unless we have some worldwide horrendous economic disaster, I think people are always going to go to Paris. 25 million people visit Paris every year. Some of them have got a rent apartment. They don't really have a B&B industry over there like we do yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels are phenomenally expensive. And unless you pay a phenomenal price, you get a matchbox
mm-hmm.
for a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like, yeah, downtown London.
Yeah. Well, yes. And you, yeah, so you've been there. You've seen them. So, and then, of course, it would also solve that problem that, you know, I'm a little old lady. I'm still concerned about what's going to be happening here
right.
in terms of health care.
Right.
And then plus, you know, a couple of weeks out of the year, I and my friends could go over there.
That's right. I'm all for that.
Yeah. I thought you'd be in my life out. We might
I'm
find,
all for that.
Find something other than CMS.
Amy,
like it, right?
Would you like to go shopping in Paris with Christina?
Yeah.
Hey, Gracie, you want to go with Grandma to Paris?
You know, so I've just done enough reading. You know, I've been there a couple times, and the first time I went there, I was immediately comfortable.
Yeah.
And the first time I went to London, I was not
mm.
immediately comfortable. So, you know, you kind of take that as
mm-hmm.
Interesting, because first time I went there, I had about 10 words of French.
Mm-hmm.
And I still felt like I fit here, I'm comfortable,
yeah.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
Like I was walking down the street and somebody actually stopped me and asked for directions, which I thought was so funny. Well, you know, why wouldn't they think that was funny? You know? But I just sort of thought that was a boost. Yeah, and so now it's the money thing, and we'll see. especially since my situation is kind of different than those.
Yeah, well, it sounds like from that one gal that she's not highly turned down, so. But like you say, it's the, yeah, the disability income as opposed
right, yeah,
to an earned income.
And the mortgage broker, or mortgage broker, she's one of the big banks. She said if it was a French disability policy, there's no way. But
mm-hmm.
she said, let's look at yours. So, no. We shall see, and if it doesn't work now, then we'll have to sell the book and make a bunch of money, and then I won't need one.
Right, that's right. Right. Well, I'm listening to that. I'm thinking, boy, she's probably getting more interested in working with us all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
She said that fractional for sale, and if I thought the secondary market was better, I think I would just buy a share.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could just make money on that in a
mm-hmm.
year.
But it wouldn't satisfy your long-term goal of living there.
No. That would
and having.
Right.
That would just be an investment.
That would just be
an opportunity for you to buzz over if you wanted to and stay and know where
yeah.
you're staying. And
but it is going to be. I'll pull it up and show you.
The fractional?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
would it be like a two-bedroom or just a studio?
No, it's a two-bedroom.
Oh, so.
And it's right